I imagine most of you have heard of Vincent van Gogh. He's one of the most celebrated of all painters. I got some paintings up there, hopefully. I don't remember all the names of them, but they're very famous paintings. The next one is, I think, Starry Night, one of his more famous paintings. If you look really closely at the bottom, you'll see a church there. You'll notice that of all the buildings, it's in darkness. Not a major point for today, but Van Gogh had a love-hate relationship with the church. There's one more I know there's. You know, the Group of Seven were highly influenced by Van Gogh. I'm a big Group of Seven fan. Anybody else out there? Van Gogh had a big impact on them, so Van Gogh's influence comes to Canada, too. One of Van Gogh's paintings sold for $180 million. Was actually sold in 96 for just under $100 million, but in 2022 terms, it's $180 million. In his lifetime, Van Gogh sold one painting. Like one. He must have painted hundreds of them. Maybe thousands for all I know. He sold one painting. Perhaps the most celebrated of all painters sold one painting in his lifetime. Do you find that kind of ironic? His paintings today sell for tens of millions of dollars, some for hundreds of millions of dollars, but 140 years ago, he couldn't even give them away. Van Gogh is considered to be a genius, but in his own time, he was ignored, even reviled by some. And what do you think it would mean for an artist of Van Gogh's sensitivity to continually meet this level of rejection in life? What does it mean for someone to meet this level of rejection in life? He obviously loved to paint. It's one of the things that brought him joy. You can see it in his paintings. His paintings are expressionistic in nature. They are expressions of his emotion for things. They're such a raw expression of emotion in life. What would it mean for Van Gogh or someone like him to be continually rejected at such a fundamental level in life? Well, what did it mean for Van Gogh to experience such rejection? Well, it meant that he took his life. He killed himself. Life was too unbearable for him to keep going on. At some point, you cannot endure without love or some basic affirmation. This challenge with love was a hallmark of Van Gogh's life. He wanted to be, first of all, a pastor. He had a passion for God, but his church wouldn't allow it. Perhaps he didn't have that kind of solidity that was necessary in the last half of the 19th century for a Protestant church pastor. Maybe he didn't have that level of equanimity or composure or repose necessary for the job. It seems that that was something Van Gogh lacked. So he didn't get the job. They wouldn't even allow him to train to become a pastor. Rejection and lovelessness was a feature of Van Gogh's relationships with women. You know that famous scene where he cuts off part of his earlobe and sends it to a beloved one? That was at the end of a series of rejections towards him from his relationships with women. And to add to all this, his passion for painting garnered no enthusiasm from the world around him. None. Van Gogh's work was rejected by all. He only sold one painting. The rest he gave to his brother, Theo. And eventually his brother, Theo said, "Vincent, enough. I got no more storage left." And when you think about the story of Vincent van Gogh, it really is a tragedy. And there's a deep irony in his later success. Today, the world adores Van Gogh. Where was a little of that adoration or love when he needed it? Life at times seems so unfair. And it probably seems most unfair when it comes to love. I don't think Van Gogh's life is particularly unique that way. I think there are lots of gifted people, gifted in various ways, who are perhaps a bit eccentric because of their gifts, who go through life meeting rejection, meeting the rejection of the world head on. in sometimes very brutal ways. There are lots and lots of other people who become disillusioned with love along the way of life. Love promises us so much, yet so often delivers us so little. There's a sense in many of us that there has to be more to this little world than we experience in our daily lives. This is the Sunday of love, the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of love. Last week we looked at joy. I suggested to you that joy was one of those more elusive emotions. Many people don't experience a lot of joy in life. Happiness, of course, laughter and humor, absolutely. But joy, do we really experience that joy, that deep, deep, deep happiness that comes to us as almost as if it were a gift given to us? I'm not sure how often people experience that kind of joy in their life. In fact, I think the word joy is hardly ever used in our circles of conversation. I mean, how often do you really hear the word joy come up in a normal conversation with someone? Love is a different matter, of course. It has to be different. You just turn on the radio, and if there's a song playing on the radio, there's a good chance that it's about love. It has something to do with love. Listen to some of the song titles that have love in it. Can't Help Falling in Love, you know, that Elvis Presley song. I can't help. Okay, I'm not going to do my Elvis impersonation. Because I love you, and I'm not going to inflict it upon you, okay? Stupid Love by Lady Gaga, You Give Love a Bad Name, Bon Jovi. Crazy Little Thing Called Love, Queen. Somebody to Love, Queen. Endless Love, Diana Ross and Lionel Richie. I Just Called to Say I Love You, Stevie Wonder. Find Your Love, Drake. A Whole Lot of Love, Led Zeppelin. Can You Feel the Love Tonight, Elton John. Chance when you turn on the radio today, you might even hear one of those songs being played. And that's just a handful of the number of pop songs, of rock songs with love in the title. What about all those songs that don't have love in the title, but they're about love? That number seems almost countless in them, countless, beyond our ability to count. Hundreds of thousands, millions, maybe tens of millions of songs that are about love. Love songs seem to be everywhere, in every style, in every language. What that should mean for us is that, unlike joy, love is something that we obviously understand. Surely at one level we do. We've all experienced it, hopefully, if only fleetingly for some of us. We all have certainly longed for it. We have all have certainly been able to recognize love's absence in our lives at times. Love is not obscure for us the way that joy is. Or is it? We talk a lot about love. We think about it. We seek it. We listen for it. We suffer for it. And yet, for all our efforts, I think love is often as elusive as joy is. Even in our primary relationships, in our relationships with our spouses or with our children, with our parents, siblings, with close friends, love can at times feel so far away from us. Even with the most caring people in life, even with that circle of family and friends close by, love can still feel elusive for you and for me. It can be elusive in such a way that it frustrates us, because it shouldn't be this way. We feel that. It shouldn't be this way. Love should be easy, not hard. It should be simple, not complicated. And that's in the best case scenario. I tell you, go into a nursing home today. Just go in today if you have a second. You probably won't, but if you did, you will see rafts of people living there without love. Abandoned by families, forgotten by friends, ignored by the world, living isolated, loveless lives. Something profoundly tragic about that, just in the same way that it was with Van Gogh. What's happened? Something's gotten missed for many of us, as if we've got on the wrong bus. Or the bus went by the bus stop and we weren't there when the love bus went by and we missed that bus because we were at the wrong place at the wrong time. So they say maybe we just took the wrong bus and it took us to the wrong place in life. Again and again and again. Ancient Israel missed the love bus. They were up to something else and they just missed the bus, the love bus, when it came by, when it passed by. And they got moved instead to a different place in life. They took a different bus. And they took a bus to a place where there wasn't much love for them. That's not how it was supposed to be. They were God's chosen people. It says in the Old Testament that God loved them. Of all the people in the world, God singled them out for a special relationship. God had a special calling for them, a special task given to them. And it all began with a special love relationship between them and God. Yet the relationship went sour, as it often does. The love got forgotten. Israel sought love in other places, and the opportunity for the blessing of love was lost to them. And now Israel is in a foreign, loveless land, in a place where they never expected to be, and they were thirsty and hungry for God's love for them. But that was now an impossibility for them. See, they had missed the bus, so to speak. Actually, they had taken the wrong bus, and they got deposited in a very inhospitable place, far away from God's love for them, far away from God, it would seem, even. And they were wondering about their future, if they even had one. Because without love, what kind of future waits for us? And I think the gospel calls us to never give up on love, even when we have taken the wrong bus in life. That's what Isaiah is about today. Don't give up because you've taken the wrong bus in life and gotten placed in a desolate location with respect to love. Just because you've sought love in the wrong places, you've been deposited in a barren, loveless land, even when we're in the most loveless of places, we're not to give up on love, especially in those places we're not to give up on love in life. You see, God is engaged in a kind of love conspiracy for us. We don't see it right away, obviously. We don't feel it in the moment, always. And it seems often like things just won't change for us. But the gospel tells us that behind the scene, God is working out a love story for you and me. Even now, God is singing a love song to us. If we could just hear it. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear?" There's an echo there, isn't there? "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea." If you hear that song ringing through the sky, or if you only hear its echo in your heart, your life is changed forever. Forever. I was reading recently about a near-death experience where someone had gone to heaven and they experienced God's love for them. Pure love. They had a hard time expressing it in words when they came back to this world. They had a hard time describing God's love that they'd experienced in heaven. This kind of love goes beyond language, after all. Beyond language, at least as we understand it. God's love goes beyond anything we know. There's really no human equivalent for God's love. Even our most loving human relationships do not provide sufficient analogy for God's love for us. So what is one to do when one has that kind of experience? How do you describe it to someone? It's like describing a whole new color. We can use terms like unconditional love or perfect love or pure love or extravagant love or total love, but what do these phrases really mean for us? People talk about unconditional love, for instance, as if they know what they're speaking of. No human being has ever experienced unconditional love in a human relationship. It's not possible. We might hope for it, but it's not within our natural capacity to both give or receive. The unconditional love that's being described in the scriptures, that gift of love from God, is God's love for us with no conditions. It is God and only God who can give us this kind of love. And the tragedy of life is that we seek this love in every place but the one that can give it to us. The tragedy in life is that we seek this love in every other relationship except the one that can give it to us. And our task as followers of Jesus is to come and know this love. First, to come and know this love. Open our door and let the light of God's perfect love shine in. Open the door of your heart, even in this moment. And let the love of God's light shine in upon you. And then our task after we've received the love is to let that love out, to open the door and let God's light shine out through us to the world. As I often say, let's just learn how to step aside and let God shine through us to life. Open the door. Heaven's knocking. Open the door. Let the light shine in. Open the door, Jesus is waiting. Open your heart, let his love come in. Open the door to him. People shouldn't have to have literal new near-death experiences in order to know this love. It's a sad state of affairs if this perfect love, this unconditional love, this total love, this unlimited love is limited to a few people who experience it through near-death experiences. In fact, I heard this story of this one father who had a near-death experience, and he'd experienced this total love, and he was so desirous for his son to have that experience that he tried to kill his son so he could have a near-death experience and know God's love for him. The father did this because that was the only way he knew how to share this love that he'd experienced with his son. He obviously didn't want his son to be permanently dead. He just wanted him to be temporarily dead so that his son could know God's love. But here's the good news for us. God wants to give you this love now, here, in this place. It's a gift waiting for you and me. We don't have to have a near-death experience in order to know it for ourselves, in order to be able to receive it. Open your door to the Lord and let his light shine in, and then step aside and let that light shine out through you to the world. God's perfect love is shining right now, if we could only see it. It's shining right now. It wants to shine through you and me to each other. You know, that father, in a strange way, he wasn't completely off the mark. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 5 that we must, each of us, have a kind of near-death experience. We must die with Christ. We must let that ego nature of ourselves die with him in order to be raised to new life in him. We must die in a certain kind of way to ourselves in order to allow the Father's love to shine through us. Or in simple terms, again, just learn how to step aside. Not an easy thing to do. Learning to step aside and let the light shine through you is a hard thing to do. It's simple, but it's really hard to do. It's not an easy thing to do for us, but it can be done. We just have to learn how to die in a certain kind of way. But unless we're going to restrict people's knowing of God's love to near-death experiences, it's the only way I know of. You know, it was the prophet Isaiah that took God's love song to Israel. See, Israel was in great despair, on the verge of death. They had their own near-death experience, in a sense, too, when Israel got moved to that loveless, barren land. beyond God's love for them, they thought. And then Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, comes to them and he sings this love song to them. Part of it heard in Isaiah 55. A beautiful song of life, of hope, of joy, of love, a commitment from God to be with them no matter where they find themselves. The same love song was sung at Christmas to celebrate the birth of the Son of God, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. The angelic host sang this song to and for Jesus. It's that love song that became one of us and walked on the face of the earth. That love song was seen and heard as Jesus reached out his arms as wide in love. He reached out his arms wide in love to take in the whole world, to take in the whole world. And he stepped aside and he allowed the whole light of God's love to shine through him. It was that love song that Vincent van Gogh needed to hear long ago. It's the love song that every lonely soul needs to know. It's the love song that my lonely soul needs to know. And I think so does yours. So open your door today. Open the door of your heart and let the light shine in. And when you've done that, in faith, if just for a moment, trust that the light will shine out.